Good morning, and I too welcome each one of you to our service. God has been so good to us in teaching us spiritual things this morning. I feel, and I trust that you have been feeding from that in our service. I don't have time to mention all the different thoughts this morning that were good for us to ponder. And I marvel at how God wove the service together. This morning I'd like to preach on Matthew 13, 1 to 23, and you can turn there in your Bible. And the title of the message is, What is Your Soil Like? And I think it ties very well into the Sunday school lesson, or to the devotions and Sunday school lesson. And but I didn't go to this thought because of it. Instead, it was just my ponderings, because I think it is a healthy thought to think about, especially as you think about. We're in the beginning of a year, the years ahead of us. What will this year be like? And Brother Josh brought out the thought of how do I prepare for the things that I may be faced in life? And, of course, we don't know what we're going to be faced with. And so there are things that we don't know how to prepare for, except there are fundamentals that are so important, such as the message this morning. What is my soil like? Matthew 13, Jesus gives us the parable of the sower who went out to sow seed. And this seed has life. And we believe, because we've experienced it, and also because the Bible teaches us, that His word and His truth can bring forth much fruit in my life and in your life. There's no person here this morning that the dynamic of God's word cannot bring forth much fruit from. I believe that. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, is you can meet any person across the face of this earth and know that the gospel can bring forth much fruit in their life if the soil is conducive for that. And as you think about, what is your soil like? Has my soil become hardened over time? Or is it soft and ready to plant seeds to grow? Or are there weeds growing? And, you know, those are the things we're going to think about from this passage this morning. We are promised that God's word and His truth can bring forth much fruit, but it hinges on the condition of the soil in my heart. And gardeners know how important the condition of the soil is. It's why every year we sell tractor and trailer load after tractor and trailer load of mushroom soil, because gardeners have discovered that humus is so helpful for preparing the condition of their soil and their garden. So year after year, they add it to it because it improves the yield from their garden. And whether you're young or whether you're middle-aged or whether you're older, you can reflect on your heart and what condition it is in, and whether it is in a condition ripe for seed to be planted in this morning, which is optimum, or maybe there's some stoniness there, maybe there's some thorns, thistles in there, and what should we do about that? Matthew 13, beginning verse 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in a parable, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, think about like along a pathway, or at the edge of the field. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears and hear with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 60, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So in this story of telling the parable, he says that there are some who have their eyes shut, their ears plugged, their heart is hardened against truth. But you, speaking to his disciples, your eyes are open and your ears hear. And so we have these two comparisons, which are also what the parable teaches. And it is this reality that is here today. You can be here in this meeting and you can have your eyes closed and your ears plugged, which fortunately I don't see anyone sleeping. And I really appreciate that. Rarely do I see someone sleeping when I'm preaching. Now maybe that's because I don't see everything, because sometimes other things happen that I don't see. But I'm thankful for a church culture where people are attentive and involved in the service, because I believe that's an indication of soil that's either being prepared or is prepared and receiving seed. And I don't see anyone with fingers in their ears, which is a good thing as well. Well, Jesus refers to this prophecy of Isaiah that these people will have this condition of a heart that is waxed gross, ears that are dull of hearing, and eyes that are closed. And of course we know this does not mean that people need to go to the optometrist. When Jesus was done talking to them, the point wasn't that they should go see a doctor to check out their seeing, or to go to ear, nose, and throat specialists to check out their hearing. It's not that. What is it teaching us? Well, Jesus is using this parable to teach us a spiritual lesson and to think about the condition of my heart. Not what my blood pressure is, not an EKG or not any of those things, but rather the spiritual man inside of me. What condition is it in? Is it a condition that is receptive to God's word and his truth? Or is it one that has rocks in it? Stony? Is it stony? Is it hard? Does it have weeds in it? You know, at this time of the year, the seed catalogs arrive. And the seed catalogs always have those beautiful pictures in them. And they typically show up in January sometime, and you look out the window and the ground's hard and frozen. Sometimes it's covered with snow. And it's always interesting. Like, it's that promise of a harvest when you look at that seed magazine. You're like, not now, but a couple months from now, 3-4 months, that soil will be completely different. It'll be ready for seeds. And we can plant those seeds in a month or two. We can start receiving a harvest if you know, our vision comes to fruition. But right now is not a good time to harvest, not a good time to plant. Be really quite foolish to go out and try to plant seeds right now when the ground's frozen and it's so cold. And soil isn't ready to be planted. But we have promise of that condition coming. Jesus talks about these four different soils: the soil along the wayside, the soil that's stony, the soil that is full of thorns, and then, of course, the good soil. You know, the wayside soil is soil that is never prepared for planting. It's at the edge of the field or the path. It's hard and compacted. It's not known as a good place to sow seed. You don't go along your driveway and scatter out your vegetable seeds and expect a good harvest. You don't go around the edge of the garden where it's unprepared and throw out your pea seeds, because you know that soil isn't prepared for it. The stony soil is soil that has lots of stones in, obviously. And stony soil can be prepared for a good seed bed, but it takes a lot of work. And this past fall, we reseeded some of our pastures, pretty much all of our pasture there. In this one spot in particular, the gas lines come across our place, and there's a hill. And when I brought the tiller behind the tractor into there, I discovered that area was just full of rocks. And I think when they put in that gas line, apparently they dug real deep. Down deep, it must have been very rocky, and it just left on the surface. And it bounced that tiller around so badly that I broke two sets of bracket, or the bolts that hold the bracket onto the tiller. It broke two sets of them trying to get the ground worked. And of course, it was so stony that if there was any chance of a smooth seeding, we were going to have to pick up a lot of stones. And so we picked up stones and picked up stones and picked up stones until finally it was semi-decent. Seeded it, packed it down. Beautiful, beautiful seeding has come up. And but afterwards I reflected on, now I know why so many years have gone past since I've tackled reseeding that pasture. Because it's hard work to prepare a stony soil for a good seed bed. But it can be done. And so if your heart is stony this morning, there's hope for it. Thirdly, thorny ground has established nasty weeds that just shade out the good seed and over-dominate it with the thorns. They choke out the seed. It might be good ground, but the thorns have taken over it. And it'll take work to remove the thorns and loosen that ground up for it to be a good seed bed. And fourthly, we have the good ground. And it's the ground that has been worked. It's ready to receive the seed. The thorns and weeds have been removed. Stones have been picked up and thrown in the hedgerow. Manure, mushroom soil have been spread over it, worked in. Has good drainage. Water doesn't lie there. The right amount of clay, humus, and sand so that we have that nice, mealy, soft ground to plant our seeds in that has the most optimum possibility of a good harvest from a natural standpoint. And so this is the parable teaching us a spiritual lesson about our hearts this morning. And that's where it connects in with being prepared for what comes to us in life, and also connects into the thought of, is my relationship with God going to grow and strengthen, and is my family going to develop a relationship with God and grow and strengthen? It depends on the condition of the soil of our heart and whether we keep our soil ready for seed to continue to be planted in it. And this truth is a very sobering reality for us, because John 15 is quite clear that if my life does not bring forth fruit, God's going to cut me off from the vine. That's what it tells us. Every branch that beareth not fruit is taken away from the vine. And so it's not just, well, I'll produce fruit if it's easy, and if it's not, so be it. Not that big of a deal. No, it is a big deal. Turn to Luke 13. There's a little story there. Luke 13, verse 6 to 9. And Jesus spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And the dresser of the vineyard answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. Or we would say, put manure around it, fertilizer, nutrients. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. He stops there. I assume that the owner was convinced by his dresser to give this tree another year of opportunity. And you can just imagine a tree that's established into the ground, but no fruit is coming out of it. So this dresser, the farmer that's taking care of the tree, he gets his spade and he works the ground loose around the tree, and he brings in his donkey manure or from his cows and his sheep, goats, and works it into the ground. And lo and behold, puts out fruit this year. Amazing. Wonderful. Now it will not be cut down. So this is sobering. Again, that if my life is not bearing fruit, the Lord of the vineyard is going to say, I've given him 3 years. I've even had other spiritual people speak into his life and nurture him, and he refuses to bear forth fruit. Chop it down. Perhaps another way to think about this parable, is to think about how we receive nutrition to grow. How do we receive nutrition to grow? In a natural way, we take food in our mouth. And if we immediately spit that food out, we don't receive any nutrition. But if you take that food and you chew it slowly, and it mixes with saliva in your mouth, and eventually you swallow it down into your stomach and it breaks it apart, your body receives nutrients from it. And so too, when the seed is sown into our life, if it quickly disappears, if the birds pick it up and take it away, or if we neglect it, it's not going to bear forth much fruit. But if we soak on it and meditate on it and let it permeate into our thoughts and our thinking and change how we think about things, change it to the way God would have us think about things, it's going to sink into our inner man and bear fruit. Verse 18 of Matthew 13. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arriveth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that understandeth the word, and he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. So as Jesus interprets his past parable, he explains each soil. The wayside soil is someone that hears the word but doesn't understand it. And because he doesn't understand it, the wicked one can come along and snatch that seed away. If his mind was receptive to the truth and it began to connect into his thoughts and permeate into his understanding, Satan can't snatch that seed away because it's already putting down root and getting nutrients and going to work in someone's mind. And so it's important that we understand the scripture. If something doesn't make sense to you, ask someone to explain it to you. As you read the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to open its truths up to you. So it's not just words on a page, but that the message becomes meaningful and it becomes part of who you are and you align yourself with its truth. If we don't want to be the wayside soil, we need to seek to understand the truth that we hear. The stony soil hears the word and is delighted with what he hears. That's amazing. I'm so glad that you taught me this. But because of the stones in the soil, the roots go down a little bit, and then there's stones right under the surface. And the roots hit that stone, and they can't go down in deep. They're in a very thin soil strip, and so when it gets hot, they run out of moisture, and they shrivel up, and they die. And that is how we can be in our lives. If our heart is stony, if it's hard, and the truths of God's word only go in so far until they can't permeate farther because we resist what it's doing in our life, or we just say, God, I'll give you this part, but not this part, and along comes some difficulties, and we shrivel up and say, tried it. It just wasn't for me. I'll go live however I want to. And I think one of the things this soil teaches me about my life is the importance that God's word needs to permeate every area of my life. And it seems to be our tendency that we can give part of our life to God. Lord, you can have this part of me, but not this part. Or don't go. I can't go there. We can't go there in my life. That's off limits. We begin to kind of make spots in our life where we resist God's work in it, and I think that is how our heart can be stony. Part of us are spiritually minded, but another part of us is carnal, and it's okay. And we have this amazing tendency to compartmentalize our lives and and keep some things, feed some things in a carnal way, and yet others in a godly way. And the end of that is a very frustrated Christian. And it's the end of it is also a very poor testimony. Jesus asks us to surrender everything on the altar. There's no part of my heart that I can block off and keep to myself. Jesus offers us the free gift of salvation, but in exchange for that, he requires us to surrender our all on the altar. And That is what is proposed to us in the Bible. Here is the free gift of salvation, but in exchange to that, you become my love slave, and you do my bidding. And I will bless you, and I'll give you so many things. At the end, I'll give you life eternal in my presence forevermore. But you do my bidding, not your own bidding. And it's such a integral part of the gospel where Jesus lives it out to the fullest dimension himself, where he sacrifices himself to provide us with that salvation. And in turn, he expects those of us that name his name, to live sacrificially on behalf of all those around us. And the free gift of salvation is not a free gift for us to go live as we please, but it's a free gift to live as he pleases. And it's only reasonable, Romans tells us, it's only reasonable that we would yield our lives back because of what he's done for us. The thorny soul, see, that receives the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it out. It isn't the cares of the kingdom that choke it out. It's the cares of this world. What does the world care about? Well, they care about a lot of things. And we talked about this morning, about being on good terms with the world. And what does that mean? Well, what does the world care about? They care about not looking old. You ever notice that? So often, and I think this applies to men and women, but so often at work I'll notice a couple will come in to work and the man looks 60s, but the lady doesn't have a speck of gray hair in her head. Not because there shouldn't be, but because it's colored. They don't want to look old. Why is that? Well, it's probably because it could be for a number of reasons, but we should embrace aging because it's one step closer to meeting our Savior. The world cares about their flings and their pleasures. They care about their status and what the Joneses say. They care about protecting their stuff, their retirement fund. The list goes on and on and on. And it's things that can affect us. We begin to care about some of these things. You know, their luxury vacations and their cruises. Sounds pretty appealing to go on a cruise and see beautiful places and just relax in the lap of luxury. Is that the place for a child of God? These cares, the cares of the world, choke out God's word. There are cares that the Christian has as well, but they are things that God cares about. The cares of the Christian is for his soul and his neighbor's soul and his children's souls, souls in his community. And the earthly cares that we do have, the scripture teaches us that we're to cast them on him, for he careth for us. We passed this billboard this morning on Bedford Road that says, "Are you depressed or anxious this morning? Call this number." And I asked Christy that question. I said, "Are you depressed or anxious this morning?" And she's like, "Why are you asking me that?" I said, "Well, that's just what the sign said. You're to call this number if you're depressed or anxious." I said, "I think the sign should say, if you're depressed or anxious, come along to church with us. Here's where your griefs and your anxious thoughts can be solved through Jesus Christ." The deceitfulness of riches is a thorn that will choke out God's word. You know, riches take away our dependence on God. They deceive us into thinking that we can take care of ourselves. And riches have this way of capturing our thoughts. Oh, I can do this because I have this. And I can make this problem go away just with money. And I can add this into my life. And people discover that when they go down that mindset of what riches can do for you, it can't get you the things that matter the most. Just down the road from us is a mansion that, maybe things have changed, but not that long ago, the owner of that mansion lived there by himself. Guess what? Money couldn't buy him a wife that loved him. Money couldn't buy him a family. Money couldn't buy him a happy home. Money certainly can't buy you eternal life. The thrust of the kingdom is one of sacrifice. Jesus lived out this sacrifice and asked his children to live it out as well. The rich man can live sacrificially. Think of Nicodemus, but too often his riches deceive him and he trusts in them. And when Jesus asks us to sell and give to the poor, come follow him, instead we go away with sadness. And so, question for me to ask myself and for you to ask yourself this morning: are cares choking out God's word in my life? Is it preventing truth from rooting down into my heart? my prayer life, my devotional life? Is it regular, meaningful, or is it haphazard and just a thing that we go through and doesn't have any meaning in our life? The good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. If we're going to be the good ground in this coming year, we need to have open hearts, eyes that see well, and ears that hear well. And, of course, the question begs to be asked, what do I do if this morning my soil is the wayside, or my soil is the stony soil, or my soil is full of thorns and thistles, or my eyes have cataracts growing across them, or my ears are listening to the music of this world and not to the things of God? The gospel gives us the solution, and that is the solution of repentance. Repentance, you know, it's amazing when you spray Roundup on weeds how fast they can turn brown and die. Repentance is even more effective than Roundup on how fast it can destroy a thistle in your life and open up space for that seed to have sunlight and take and grow. Repentance is incredibly effective to stony and hard spots in our heart that seed can't take root because of maybe sin in our life or whatever it might be. Repentance can shatter that hard soil and prepare a wonderful, nutrient-rich seedbed for that seed to take root. It can remove the cataracts from my eyes so that I can see the things of God. And we ask ourselves, how could I have been so blinded to that for so long? Well, some of those things that Jesus mentioned may have been the cause of it. The sower is going forth to sow. What harvest will he find from me in this year's growth? My prayer is that all of us would bring forth 100-fold this year. Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal Father in heaven, we're so thankful this morning that the sower goes forth to sow. The sower has been going forth to sow for millennia, and it goes forth and sows in 2026. Thank you that it sows through each brother that taught us this morning, through the message and through your word, that so much seed was sown this morning. Father, I pray that in each heart that you would prepare the soil for that seed to take root. Yea, Father, from the young ones that are just opening up to their understanding of what you desire from their life, to us that are in the middle age of life and busy with the cares of life, to those that are older and facing a life that largely has passed and yet there's still a future ahead, I pray that each one of us would cultivate the soil in our heart so that the seed that falls each day, each moment, each week, in the coming months, would take root and bear forth much fruit. And while it's cold outside and the ground isn't ready for seed in our gardens, may the soul of our heart be prepared for the seed that landed there this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.